Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening. This is Jennifer Hellman, the host of AR. And tonight, again, we have the upcoming astrology trends given to us by Kim Marie. Kim Marie has been studying Geoffrey Wood Green's evolutionary astrology for 19 years and is the director of the Evolutionary Astrology Network. She enjoys teaching and public speaking about astrology as well as doing reading charts. And you can get in touch with Kim at astrologybykimmarie.com, and I want to welcome you again to AIR. Thank you so much for being here, Kim.
Thank you, Jennifer, for inviting me.
Oh, well, I didn't get a chance to really, you whipped through things so well because of my mistake, my error, and I do apologize to the audience, because the audience is one as well as you, that missed out on being able to call in and ask their general questions on astrology. And so we will be doing that. There's a lot of things going on. It seems like all the earth signs are taking over the charts.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, the other thing, Jennifer, is that 2008 is a 1 year in numerology, of course, 2
mm-hmm.
plus 0, 0 plus 8. And so 1 year, it's initiating in a whole new 9 year cycle. So even though it's earth signs, it's new beginnings with these earth signs, new realities. And so it just seems like the 2008 is kind of like busting out of the gates with all kinds of new beginnings for people in many different ways. You know, just in general, perhaps we could speak about the element of Earth, because Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto have all moved into Earth signs, or Pluto's just getting ready to here back and forth dancing this year of 2008 before it goes into Capricorn for like 15 years. But the element Earth, it's one of the four elements in astrology, fire, earth, air, and water. Earth relates to the physical realm, to practicalities, to putting your feet on the ground and looking at what's real in your world. And sometimes we can relate this to the fact that Pluto, coming from Sagittarius, a fire sign, to Capricorn, an earth sign, all of the earth signs are preceded by fire signs as the planets do their dance through the zodiac. And so, you know, fire signs are spirit. They're full of ideas and excitement and freedom and creativity, and I've just got to get out there and light my fire. And then all of a sudden, they move into the earth signs, and it's like, oh, okay, here I am. Well, where'd everything go? And so as we make this transition of fire signs to earth signs, which relates to this 2008 in many ways, it's just really about being able to take the ideas that are real and start manifesting them. And then the stuff that was what we would call pie in the sky, or maybe long-term visions that just aren't ready to manifest yet, or escapes from reality that sometimes our fire signs can do as well in their excitement and exuberance. The earth signs just kind of say, okay, let's take a recheck here. Let's just see what is priority for us. Let's put our feet on the ground and look at what we can do at this moment. And so there's an interesting blend going on from 07 to 08, 9 year to 1 year, and starting over. And it's starting over with what is real.
Well, that's always good. I mean, for generally, it's 12 years that we've been in Sagittarius in Pluto. So it's everybody was looking within, looking for what they truly wanted, making those plans or at least getting the inspirations and the ideas. And now it's like you're getting kind of the bubble popped and says, all right, which are really going to happen and which aren't, and really building the foundations so they can be long-term.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly true. I happen to have a Capricorn rising, little tidbit. So I had to learn a long time ago to relate to this archetype of Capricorn, which is such embodiment of the earth signs. And what I like to remind people of is without the element of earth, we wouldn't accomplish any of our goals. You know, the three earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn, they relate to setting those goals, but also then figuring out how to achieve them and coming up with the willpower to achieve them. So as a few bubbles crashed throughout 2008 and we have to put our feet on the ground, along with that comes some energy to go after what it is that we are perceiving we have the potential to achieve. And so in some ways, you know, this can be a very good energy for those of us who know how to take ideas and put effort into them. For people who just kind of want to stay in the ideas, snap their fingers, make things magically happen, they might notice a little bit more bubble bursting throughout this year than the earth archetypes who can roll up their sleeves and go to work.
Yes. So Capricorn then in Jupiter has what effect?
Well, Jupiter is the planet of a couple of different archetypes. You know, each of the planetary symbols have a range of archetypes. And so Jupiter, as we're following the planets from, let's just say, the sun, the center of the solar system, on the way out, all the way out to the outer planets, as we keep going further away from the center of our solar system, each planet gets broader and broader in its concepts and archetypes. And when we get to Jupiter, before that was Mars, and sun through Mars represents a lot of personal stuff that we can identify in it within ourselves. And Jupiter then starts that expansion out into being able to notice the world beyond ourselves. And so Jupiter will be known as the archetype of growth and expansion. It's also the archetype of intuition, which means that we know something without quite knowing how we got there or how we know it. In other words, Jupiter starts to bring in some of that inductive logic versus 1 + 1 = 2 deductive. Jupiter helps us tune in to what we in evolutionary astrology know as natural spiritual laws and principles. We touch into what we would, some would call the Akashic record, or just the astral plane. Yes, moving into those. And so Jupiter starts to get all of this stuff involved in it. Another natural understanding of Jupiter is our personal belief systems. Even though we're expanding into social groups, expanding into knowing others, Jupiter will relate to personal beliefs. Now, Jupiter just finished up a year in Sagittarius, which is the sign it rules, which was why we kind of saw the tail end of Pluto in Sag, Jupiter through Sag, a real, let's just say, alignment of a lot of belief systems. And so we saw some bubbles burst, so to speak, in regards to some of our belief systems. In other words, let's make it particular to the United States. We saw this surge in what we would know as fundamental belief systems over the last decade or so. It's been waning down. It's been dying out. We've been seeing some people we perceive to be spiritual religious leaders not walking their talk and getting caught. As Jupiter's left Sagittarius and it moves into Capricorn, our consciousness, our beliefs start moving away from what do I believe so much as to, well, what works for me? what really is practical out there. You can say certain words to me, but I've got to be able to see those words out there in my physical realities. Jupiter in Capricorn will also move us towards worshiping the gods of money, so to speak. All the earth signs relate to the physical realm, the resources. Capricorn is the top of the natural zodiac, and so Jupiter in Capricorn is, when am I going to get my share of the pie? When am I going to get my wealth? And so, again, same thing. Any archetype has a spectrum of experience. Any archetype can be distorted or naturally expressed. For those who went through Jupiter and Sag, spending a little more than they earned, Jupiter and Capricorn could be a little major, who knows, letdowns. If you have been really working with aligning yourself with what is right and natural for you, archetype of Jupiter and Sag, then Jupiter and Capricorn, all those creative ideas that you can put work and effort into, mm-hmm. there can be some people who can really make some breakthroughs financially this year, even as we see these corrections in the stock market and these corrections on a more mundane level.
Okay. So is there any, that you can see any transits where Pluto and Jupiter are meeting up this next year?
They just had their conjunction the tail end of last year. I think it was December 11th at about 29 degrees Sag, and then a week later Jupiter moved into Capricorn. Jupiter and Pluto together create a 12-year cycle of really, first of all, maybe I should back up. Let's back up. From the perspective of evolutionary astrology, mm-hmm. Pluto represents the soul. It represents our soul on both an individual and a collective basis. And so whenever Jupiter and Pluto meet in the sky, that planetary pair covers the archetype of the soul's expansion and growth or evolution and the soul's expansions of its beliefs and desires specifically. And so Jupiter and Pluto met in Sag, and so the impetus was, where's my truth? What beliefs work for me? What visions do I see? And then as they've each moved into Capricorn, it's like, again, how do I manifest my vision? Jupiter will do this over the course of the next year. Pluto will do this over the course of the next 15 years. And Jupiter and Pluto will have another conjunction in another, 12 years. So I think they go to 2020 before they'll meet again in later Capricorn. So together again, they are both trying to help our souls grow with what we are perceiving to be the next thing in our line of evolution.
Wonderful. So the other planet that I know is that's in an Earth sign is Saturn.
Yes.
That's another heavy hitter.
Yes, and Saturn rules Capricorn. So with, you know, Jupiter and Pluto moving into Capricorn and Saturn itself changing a sign, which it does every 2.5 years, it still has its own Capricorn emphasis. And then Saturn has moved into Virgo, which is another Earth sign. So it just seems like there's a real lot of emphasis in this Capricorn-Virgo archetypes. Now, Saturn in Virgo, 2.5 years, it went in early last September, and it's going to be in Virgo through, it'll be the tail end of 2000, or excuse me, it'll be summer of 2010 before it moves on into Libra. But Virgo is an archetype. As an earth sign, if we want to relate it to resources, it's the worker bee. Virgo, the workhorse. But Virgo's archetype is beyond that. When we look at the wheel of the zodiac, and I thank you for allowing me to weave stories with these planetary archetypes as some of their deeper meanings. When we look at the wheel of the zodiac, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, all the way to Pisces, you can easily take those 12 signs divided in half. First half of the zodiac, self. Second half of the zodiac, others. Well, Virgo is the sixth sign. It's the tail end of those first six. And so Virgo is an archetype of being able to recognize, coming from Leo before it, the world doesn't revolve around me. In other words, Virgo starts to recognize, oh, there's a lot more to this universe than I thought it was, that thought there was. And so this is where the earth sign of Virgo starts to get into a lot of its detail, a lot of its analyzation that it's known for. It's all of a sudden there's a lot of work to be done in this area we call human relationships to go from myself, Leo, to others, Libra. And so Virgo is a great archetypical sign that is transitioning us from being the center of gravity to recognizing everybody thinks they're the center of gravity. And everybody else is out there as well. So Saturn in Virgo is a lot about self-improvement. And self-improvement, then you can see where that relates to health and wellness. You can see where that relates to improving our resources. So as Virgo gets to moving along in all of this self-improvement, it is opposing the sign Pisces on the opposite end of the zodiac. And Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac where we look for wholeness, completion, the potential for perfection. Virgo has the opposite of that. And your 12 signs will make six polarities. And the six polarities, you know, they're always the law of polarity, the opposing forces that complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pisces with the potential for perfection then shows Virgo to be everything that represents the lack of perfection. So this is where Virgo gets critical. This is where Virgo sees the cup half empty. This is where Virgo gets into crises because it recognizes all the work left to be done.
And has a total panic attack as it does.
I
have a
yes.
lot of Virgo. I know this one really, really well.
So Saturn in Virgo is about bringing all of our realities to a crisis over the next couple of years. And here's the gift, the lesson, is to recognize that the purpose of crises is to create change. The purpose of crises is to help us bring something different about. So Saturn in Virgo is creating all of these crises in regards to the physical world in order to have us change our physical world, be it our health, be it our resources, be it our jobs, be it even our beliefs with the polarity Pisces, be it the resources that we will call Gaia or planet Earth. All of these things start to come about during this Saturn in Virgo passage.
Okay, now, is Saturn in retrograde or is it out of retrograde?
Saturn went retrograde December 19th, and it's retrograde till May 2nd.
And how does that affect things? Just slow things down?
What it means, essentially, is we need a Saturn facing reality. Saturn, the boundaries of our individuated consciousness. Saturn follows Jupiter and that solar system. And so Jupiterian ideas have to be put into Saturn customs, norms, laws, and structures. And when Saturn goes retrograde, it means we need to throw off old structures. We need to throw off old realities. We need to throw off whatever becomes crystallized, traditional word for Saturn. So when Saturn goes retrograde in Virgo, it can intensify the sense of everything being in crises. Small crises, big crises, all over the place. Anytime you have a planet that goes retrograde from our Earth-centered viewpoint, retrograde means to review and throw off, to reevaluate, to release. And so these planetary retrogrades are really about accelerating evolution. But what will happen, because from evolutionary astrology's perspective, all souls have a desire to evolve, grow, expand, but we also have a desire to be secure. So we battle back and forth, and you can see this with Jupiter expansion and growth, Saturn decay and death. And so you just see it between those two planetary archetypes. But anytime the planets go retrograde, it's throwing it off. So Saturn retrograde in Virgo, December 19th through May 2nd, from, I think it was about 8.5, 9 degrees Virgo, all the way back to 1.5 degrees Virgo. And so this means that Saturn could be intensifying the crises in our lives to get us to throw off old patterns, Virgo's habits and patterns, to just throw off these old realities, to throw off old routines that aren't working for us anymore. Maybe we have an old food habit or an old couch potato habit. And this retrograde is about helping us recognize that this old pattern, this old habit, this old way of not taking care of our temple, our body, it needs to be addressed, needs to be changed. And so Saturn in Virgo, Virgo's naturally ruled by Mercury, the planet of communications. And so Saturn in Virgo is going to be getting into details of things. Saturn retrograde in Virgo means not this, not that, not this, not that. It can be throwing off these old habits and patterns that don't work, that are brought about by crises. The natural expression of Virgo is to be able to just put one foot in front of the other, step by step, day by day. And so Saturn's going to want to resist. When it goes retrograde, resistance is lessened, and we can make step-by-step progress during Saturn retrograde.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, not your typical classical astrology, you know, interpretation of Saturn retrograde in Virgo. I have a lot of planets in the ninth house, the natural Sag house. I come with a little bit of optimism, Jennifer.
Yes.
Which might be a good thing with all these planets and earth signs in 08.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned that Pisces, opposition with Pisces. Now, isn't Uranus in Pisces?
Yes. Yes, we have Uranus, the great liberator. As we're following these planetary archetypes out from the solar system, Jupiter is that growth and expansion of our beliefs and how we interact with the world. Then it runs into Saturn, which wants to contain it and create some type of structures. In evolutionary astrology, Saturn is the boundaries of the individuated consciousness, how we structure our consciousness. In other words, how our soul starts relating to everything else in its world that it's aware of, that it can be conscious of. Uranus, the next planet out, represents the individuated unconsciousness, what's below the surface, the subconscious, the unconscious. And so there's an interaction between Jupiter and Saturn, there's also an interaction between Saturn and Uranus. Whatever Saturn doesn't like, whatever we don't like in our consciousness that we can't accept, that we don't want to deal with, sometimes we try to ignore it, we try to push it away, we try to forget about it,
mm-hmm.
We push it below the surface into the unconsciousness. Well, Uranus pushes it back up. Uranus is a representation of the individuated unconsciousness. Contains three pieces of information. Contains the past and all its detail of this and every lifetime. It contains everything we're trying to suppress via Saturn in the present. Then it contains the blueprints of the future. That's why your traditional astrology will call Uranus like a lightning bolt. Or in evolutionary astrology, we will call it Uranus, will sometimes bring shock and trauma.
Oh, great.
And it's shocking and traumatic when Saturn's become too crystallized and we're not wanting to keep evolving. So now we're going to put Uranus in Pisces. It's in Pisces from 2003 to 2010. So it's about two-thirds of the way through. Pisces, last sign of the zodiac, encompassing anything and everything. Uranus in Pisces is about dissolving all kinds of boundaries because that's what Pisces does. Pisces brings us back to wholeness, oneness, interconnectedness. And so Uranus will bring up anything that prevents us from returning to our own connectedness with Universal Source. Now, we're not always going to be perceiving it that way. We're going to perceive the other art, that the distortions of the archetype of Pisces is that in that wholeness, we sometimes want to go in and focus on just one special aspect of that wholeness, and we'll focus on that aspect until it becomes our security blanket. We don't want to let it go. Been there, done that. It's comfortable. I know this. You know, I've put so much energy into this area. I know this is me and my vision. And Uranus to come along and go, well, it's been there, done that. You need to move on, and crash. There it goes.
Right.
So there's this little, almost a little tug of war sometimes with Uranus and Pisces of when reality's too hard to face, we just want to go check out, be it a Piscean drug or substance or addictive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last time we had Uranus and Pisces was the 1920s. Remember the Roaring Twenties?
Oh, wow.
Prohibition?
Yep.
You know, it was just before the stock market crash. Oh, I can't face this stuff. I just want to go off and have a good time. You notice any similar patterns?
Yeah,
present
quite
reality.
A few, actually.
And so Uranus is just dissolving whatever doesn't work for us anymore. And here's something else to understand about the archetype of Pisces. When it's trying to dissolve crystallizations and dissolve boundaries to move us back to oneness,
mm-hmm.
When it dissolves things, the archetype of Pisces can sometimes have depression related to it. And we won't always recognize that. And depression is a natural mechanism that turns us inward to go, what's wrong? What's not working? Related to that polarity of Virgo here. Oh, something must needs to change. So Uranus and Pisces can sometimes, again, have us wanting to check out. Can lead us to having those down times inwardly. And then what will actually happen in a positive way is Uranus will send in a future-orientated message. It'll pop it from the unconsciousness up into consciousness. Hey, and it'll do it again and again and again. It's our own soul trying to show us where to go via the archetype of Uranus and liberating ourselves. Breaking free from the Saturn crystallizations to be who we want to be. And this can do this, and so we can get Uranus and Pisces to send us some real visions of our own future. But what can happen many times is it's totally out of proportion or context to the current realities. It requires radical change, Uranus radical. And it just seems too big of a change. This is where we got to relate to that Saturn and Virgo polarity over there for a while now and go, okay, how can I take these big changes I know I got to make and break them down into little chunks that I can step by step go for? Now, what I've been doing is kind of talking about these two archetypes, Saturn and Virgo and Uranus and Pisces, a little bit breaking them down, because it just so happens that Saturn will make 5 oppositions to Uranus over the next 3 years. Tail end of 08, 2 and 09, 2 and 2010. So 2008, the whole year we're progressing through 2008. Right now Saturn's in orb, meaning it's close enough to an opposition to Uranus, where we feel this energy building up. And this can be one of the other major archetypes we're feeling throughout all of 2008, Jennifer. It's a 1 year, new beginnings. We're feeling that tension or tug as Uranus gets closer and closer to opposing Pisces. And, well, here's the work I got to do, but here's what makes me happy, Pisces. Here's my vision, yet here's my reality. How do I balance or bring into wholeness these two oppositions, these two, here's my reality, here's my ideals. How do I get them to talk to each other?
That's a very good question.
Uranus, remember this. When we relate to Uranus as the blueprint to the future. All of us, well, you know, we come through 5,000 years of human history of being conditioned to believe that our source of power is outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And souls who are really starting on their self-help path, looking for the self-help way, they learn, one of the things that they have to go through is learning to recognize source of power being from within rather than without. And so Uranus, as one of the archetypes to show us the power within, it will give us these repeated messages into our consciousness out of context with whatever we're doing. In other words, driving along in our car, mowing the lawn, doing dishes, and we get this future-orientated message. Clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient can come many ways, but we get this message. And for instance, let's just take a common example. We have a woman in a secretarial job, and she works as a receptionist, and yet she's talented in some natural psychological ways, and she's been studying metaphysics for a long time, and she's even been studying hypnotherapy on the side and practicing it. And she's at her job, she's driving in her car, she's going along, and she keeps getting this message and seeing herself in this office doing hypnotherapy. There's her own soul insight, higher self, higher wisdom, showing her what's coming down the road. So Uranus in Pisces is going to be giving us visions of where our beliefs on the broadest level. Pisces represents our belief system. Jupiter in Sag is kind of like our personal beliefs. Neptune ruling Pisces is the broadest level we can recognize God, Goddess, Great Spirit, the evolving force, universal source. And so Uranus in Pisces is going to be giving us these future-orientated visions that we ourselves have to learn to believe in and recognize from within us, power within, that this is where our own soul wants to go. Another example can be a couple who are married. And one spouse keeps getting this future-orientated message, vision, of being single. So their own soul recognizing, this relationship I am in has reached a crossroads. It's no longer satisfying my needs. Yet, my gosh, how do I do this? If it's the male, what if they're married with kids and the wife stays at home? Oh, my God, how do I ask for a divorce? Because I need to go find myself, Uranus and Pisces. I want to go live in an ashram. I'm so tired of this Saturn and Virgo day-to-day work with my job.
Right.
Typical thing that happens, one of them gets attracted to somebody else outside the primary relationship, the classic adultery and affair.
Mm.
And then we have all the woundedness of Pisces and the criticism of Virgo. And so what will many times happen with Uranus is that we'll get these future-orientated messages, and they're so out of context to the current reality that we ignore them, and yet they keep coming. And then all of a sudden, our world blows up in our face, and, cataclysm happens.
Yes.
And usually, you can, when it relates to Uranus being the timer through astrology, you can then reflect back and go, oh, I kept getting the messages and I wanted to ignore them. Well, these Uranus oppositions are going to have this tug of war going on.
Now, what if you followed what Uranus is telling you? Can you get the timing off wrong?
I don't know if it can be so much that you'll get the timing wrong, because if the messages are starting to come up into your own consciousness, the timing is arriving.
Okay.
But what many times will happen between this interface between Saturn and Uranus, which again is this everything we're talking about with these Pisces Virgo archetypes, this is 2008. Get ready. It's also 09, okay? There's this tug of war between what Saturn, responsibility, Virgo, this is my workload, this is my day-to-day grind, versus Uranus, this is my vision, this is my breaking free, this is my liberation that my soul now wants to go. It's the tug of war between doing what I'm supposed to do and doing what I want to do. And going forward, doing what you want to do, following your heart's desire, it's not always necessarily easy because we're conditioned by society, consensus, that this is what we're supposed to be doing. That's why evolution can take so long, because conditioning can be so strong that it takes those Uranian eruptions to break us free.
It definitely can. And I want to remind our audience, you are listening to AIR. We have Kim Marie on talking about astrology. If you do want have some general questions on what she's talking about, please give us a call. 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. We look forward to talking to you, so please feel free to pop in and ask your questions. Now, so the timing is, if it's coming up to the level, it's something you really, you recognize it, you really feel like you can't deny it, it's something that you can keep going. If you go with it, with the push-me-pull-me, is that going to release that stress?
Yes, that's the purpose of it. Eventually it will release the stress. But it can be stressful walking through, releasing the stress. And if it is stressful, it will always relate back to the soul's resistance to change. In other words, the more resistant we are to whatever is our next evolutionary step, the more we resist, the bigger the cataclysm. The less we resist, the less the cataclysm. All right? So again, it can be unsettling. It can be stressful. I mean, you know, this is, stress also gets to be a mechanism for evolution. Stress teaches us, almost like depression, something's not working. But we live in a, if you live in westernized society, which perhaps most of our listeners are, when you're in westernized society, man, we've been so conditioned that stress is normal.
Yes.
You know, one of the other, again, I think I said this a little bit earlier, but there's a Virgo Pisces archetype that we're talking about. One of the deepest essences of it is just learning to go with the flow. They're mutable archetypes. And that means adaptable and changeable. That's going to be one of the good things about this Saturn height or Uranus oppositions that are coming along over the next few years, is that in Pisces Virgo, it is more conducive to being able to let go and go with the changes.
That always is very helpful. The other retrograde that pops in my mind is Mars. Now, how is that influenced by the Saturn retrograde? Is it just really slowing things down?
Well, it can be right now. If I can, give a little broader answer, okay?
Sure.
You know, Mars is a planetary archetype that only goes retrograde once every 2 years for about 2.5 months. Just so happens that we are currently in a Mars retrograde in Cancer. It's now back in Gemini. Mars retrograde from November 15th of last year to January 30th of this month. The archetype of Mars, from the perspective of evolutionary astrology, is the conscious desires of the soul. Pluto-Mars is another planetary pair. Pluto, the soul itself, and its desire nature, very deep unconscious level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of our deep unconscious desires are made conscious via Mars. Mars is always the leading edge of our desire nature, that instinct to become, to evolve, to grow, to act, to do something. You know, Mars, the masculine archetype, aggressive action.
Mm-hmm.
When Mars goes retrograde, it says, whoa, 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 slow down. Do you really want to go in that direction? Time to review, time to really review these desires and see if this is what you want, and if not, throw it off. So Mars is, you know, this Mars, and Mars went retrograde from Cancer back into Gemini, I think it was December 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And so our New Year's this year really had us, could have been a little more emotional than usual, could have had a little more family stuff going on. And then when it went retrograde back into Gemini, you know, Gemini the twins, which way am I going to go? I feel split in two. Okay, do I want this desire or that desire? Do I want to act on this or do I want to act on that? Which one do I want to do? And so Mars has kind of got us doing a little bit of a mental thing, Gemini, rather than action-based. And so as Mars has been retrograde, and it will be until January 30th, as Saturn's in the middle of its retrograde, both Mars retrograde and Gemini right now, ruled by Mercury, Gemini ruled by Mercury, Virgo ruled by Mercury, there's a lot of analyzing going on this first month of the year. Do I sell my stocks or do I hold off?
Right.
Do I change jobs or do I keep going?
Or stay in this relationship or should I move on?
Yes. And so as Mars goes direct on January 30th, and it will then suspend a few months until April 4th, okay, so it's going to spend most of February and March going over its retrograde degrees a third time. Third time's the charm. You heard of that cliche?
I swear
it came from astrology and retrogrades. And so as Mars now goes over this third passage of Gemini and then into Cancer, we start to make our mind up. We start to know which desires are important to us. We start to recognize which options we want to work with. So then Mars starts moving forward as we get into February, and it starts maybe pushing a few of these old realities, Saturn retrograde and Virgo, Jupiter, Pluto, Capricorn, these old realities coming into more crises. But Mars has got that energy to move forward again, and it's going, hey, let's do some change here. This is a 1 year. I gotta, you know, the thing that Mars has to watch out for is making a change just a change without having any focus to the change. And so that's been the purpose of this retrograde, is to put focus into what we want to act upon. And so, again, there's going to be this momentum that will start to build through the rest of this spring as Mars goes direct and then Saturn gets through these crises to figure out more fine-tuning with the directions, and we start making or creating some momentum with directions.
And then Mercury goes in retrograde in February, doesn't it?
Yes, Mercury actually goes retrograde January 28th.
Yes.
Just before Mars goes direct. I mean, that's just the planetary archetypes. You're coming and going. You know, think about it, you know, in life. That we're human consciousness is complicated. And that complication is naturally represented just through the symbolism of astrology. It's why I joke and tell people I have job security. Nobody wants to study the stars. They're too complicated.
Yeah, no kidding. It takes reference. Kind of briefly hitting on astrology all my life, and I'm still a little confused, but fascinated by it. But it's still like, there's a lot to it.
So evolutionary astrology calls, astrology basically is natural law.
Right.
And so, it's something, you know, but then I'll always, when somebody gives me that, I'll take it back to tennis lessons. Well, excuse me, how many tennis lessons did it take you until you were proficient at tennis or golf? Or swimming, you know.
Speaking of this, you are teaching classes soon?
Well, I oversee a correspondence course, and so those are basically home study classes that anybody can do at any time. As I've been evolving this correspondence course, it has two segments. Segment one, individual, or the philosophy of EA and the individual. Segment two, relationships. And then later this year, August 31st to September 5th, I will be creating a segment three on health and wellness, Saturn in Virgo.
Oh, wow.
And so that'll be the next live week-long school that I teach. If people want more information, evolutionaryastrology.net.
Excellent. And you can also, you write the horoscopes.
Yes.
And the overviews on there as well, don't you?
Or yep. Free monthly forecast, which you can go there and find as well. But your Mercury retrogrades, I did jot those down for the listeners in case they would like to know. Mercury, the left brain, the planet of communications, it goes retrograde about 3-4 times a year for approximately 3 weeks. People who know nothing about astrology, talking about learning astrology, Mercury retrograde, it's making its way out into the public mundane world. They joke about it. Oh, Mercury's retrograde. That must be why my car doesn't start or the fax machine doesn't work, blah, blah. But
yes.
Mercury retrograde, it just means when Mercury goes retrograde, it means we got to review the thought process. We got to review the details in life. And usually because we're in detail overwhelm. And so Mercury's retrograde, I'm going to just swing these dates out for you. And the Mercury retrogrades are in air signs this year, and so it's even more mental excitement. And so Mercury retrograde, January 28th through February 18th, from about 23-24 Aquarius back to 8-9 Aquarius. Mercury retrograde in Aquarius, it could bring a little bit of that Uranian upset. Mental upsets, recognizing something we thought was going along fine. Oh, we need to do it a different way.
Right.
But it can also relate to Aquarius quantum physics breakthroughs in consciousness. The unconscious, Aquarius, ruled by Uranus, releasing things up into consciousness, Mercury left brain. Okay?
Yep.
Next Mercury retrograde, May 26th through June 19th. This one in Gemini, Mercury retrograde May 26th at 21-22 Gemini, and it goes direct to about 13 degrees Gemini. Now, Mercury rules Gemini, retrograde in its own sign. So, again, that Memorial Day weekend, that month of June, it's just going to seem a busybody weekend, month, and people just calm down, breathe, get lots of exercise. As you're trying to handle all the details of Mercury retrograde in Gemini, listen as much as you speak. Last Mercury retrograde, September 24th, Mercury goes retrograde about 22-23 degrees Libra, and then it goes direct October 15th at 7-8 degrees Libra. Libra, ruled by Venus, the relationship sign. So the last Mercury retrograde in 2008 in end of September, beginning October, is going to emphasize the relationships by that time of the year. And, you know, Libra is all about fairness and equality of giving and receiving. And here's a little tidbit for Mercury retrograde in Libra. Knowing when to give and when not to give and when not giving is the greater giving. And so Mercury and Libra can be in a tizzy over relationships and that equal giving and receiving. And so this is going to be part of the review during that time period. All three Mercury retrogrades this year that I just mentioned, we're really going to have to pay attention to communications because they're in air signs. Air is mental. It's the communicating. It's the thinking. It's the speaking. It's the writing. This year, with these Mercury retrogrades, we could see more of an emphasis in the whole Internet, World Wide Web, and computers, news in those areas. Perhaps we have viruses, more viruses than normal in the world of computers with these Mercury retrogrades and air signs. We could find ourselves again spending a lot more time communicating during Mercury retrograde.
Well, it's also interesting to me, and we've got to wrap it up, but the sign is the same as the sun sign.
It usually is because...
Is it really?
Because look at the astronomy, Jennifer. How far... Mercury never gets very far away from the sun.
That's true.
So So when you look at Mercury, when again, can't see it because it's so close to the sun. The only time you can see Mercury is those dates I gave just before it's retrograde.
Right.
If you look out right after the sun sets, you can barely see Mercury on the horizon setting.
Oh.
The other time is right after Mercury goes direct, but that requires you to get up before sunrise. On the opposite side, you can see Mercury rise before the sun. So Mercury never gets more than 30 degrees away from the sun, more or less. That's why if you know somebody's sun sign, their Mercury is either going to be the sign before, sign of, or the sign after.
Interesting.
Venus, two signs before, sign of, or two signs after. So Mercury and Venus are always fairly close to the sun. And so Mercury's retrogrades are always about it got ahead of the sun, and it starts going backwards from our viewpoint, and it just appears as though it goes back, crossing back over the sun until it's behind the sun again. And when it crosses over that sun, when it's retrograde, that's the highlight of its retrograde cycle. That's when the sun shines the light of day on Mercury and its communication and thought processes in the midst of its retrograde cycle. I usually tell people, the first half of a Mercury retrograde cycle, yeah, if you can avoid signing the papers or making big commitments, it's nice to do that. If, you know, by the time you get to the second half of the Mercury retrograde cycle, after it's crossed back over the sun, you can start to move forward with some things before Mercury direct. You know, obviously life goes forward during the planetary retrogrades as well.
Yes, it does. And with that, Kim, I have to say thank you very much for being on air. Lots of information. I'm sure you'll be hearing from me, and possibly we'll have you back on again. I'd like to invite you to come on again later on. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Next week we have a psychic. Bobby Marcello is going to be on. And until then, this is Jennifer Hellman, hoping with each breath of air you gain new insights and inspirations. Many blessings to you. Good night and peace. Thank you.